Every year I know we gonna go hard. We been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go pack go. Ain't showing no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck. Only
thing I'll All right, welcome to Lombardi's Legends Podcast. It's Dane here with Wags. Those of you that aren't seeing us on video, we've got Vacation Wags looking like this week. He's looking good down at the beach. And you know who else look good? The Packers. Packers take care of business against the Rams, go to 9-3 on the season. Really impressive performance, I thought, by this Packers team. Maybe not the signature win of the season so far, but they took care of business against a really, really good Rams team. Wags, how are you feeling the next day? We're recording this on the Monday after looking back on the game yesterday.
Dane, I feel like a million bucks, and you said it. If the players get to go somewhere warm for the bye, Wags gets to go somewhere warm for the bye. So if we post a video later, that's not a fake background. I am on the beach in whereabouts unknown. But, Dane, that's a signature win, and we went 4-0 now against the NFC West after that win against the Rams. Could have some ramifications down the line as far as playoff seeding is concerned. We're still technically behind the Cardinals in the standings for the one seed, but they've played one last game than we have, and they're going to have a lot of divisional games left, I believe, against the rest of that NFC West division. So those guys could beat up on each other a little bit yet before the end of the season. I'm excited by the Packers taking care of business ahead of that bye. And now we get to go and rest up and hopefully start to get healthier and healthier for this stretch run.
Wags, let's just dive right into this one. Looking at the Packers defense, I thought they were pretty effective overall against Matt Stafford. I was particularly impressed by Kenny Clark. I mean, what else does this guy have to do? He was an absolute monster, I thought, along with Rashawn Gary. Yesterday's game, they were just, you know, getting after Stafford an awful lot. And what did we say? I mean, we said before this game that one of the things that we wanted to see this Packer defense do is if you can bring pressure up the middle against Matt Stafford, it puts him off his mark a little bit. And I thought at times Stafford was pretty erratic with the ball. He missed a fair number of throws. In addition to Clark, Rashawn Gary just like coming after him. The second half, I thought some of the pass rush dropped off a little bit. But at that point, you know, Stafford and company, they really had to rely on a couple big plays most of this game, and that's where they got a lot of their chunk yards, a lot of their points were on a couple big, big plays. But overall, you got to be excited about what this Packers defense was able to do. If they can mitigate a couple of those big downfield throws, this is an absolute dominating performance by the defense. So I thought overall, against a good Rams offense, this Packers team looked really, really good. Spot-on performance again by Clark, by Rashawn Gary, and others, including Rasul Douglas, who, holy smokes, talk about a midseason addition, bringing him off the practice squad. I'm with Aaron Rodgers, Wags. How is this guy on the practice squad? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you hit on a number of areas, but yeah, those two big guys in Gary and Kenny Clark combined for 4 quarterback hits and 2 sacks. Obviously, Gary with the strip sack early in the first quarter. That puts the Packers in position to get on the board. And then late, it's Rasul Douglas with the pick 6. And oh, by the way, Adrian Amos with a big stick on 4th down to force a turnover on downs. This Packer defense basically put 17 points on the board. I know technically the offense gets credit for 10 of those, but for the work that they were able to do, throw out the fact that the Rams put 28 points up, this was a dominating performance by the defense. Anytime your defense can put your team in a position to generate 7 actual points and, for all intents and purposes, 17 total points, that's a great day. And yeah, you've got to start with what the defense was able to do and force the Rams into some turnovers and give this offense some great field position. Could have even had a couple more. We set it against the Vikings, and luckily it didn't come back to bite us this time. We were able to get up by a head enough, 19 points after that Rasul Douglas pick 6, that for all intents and purposes, we just needed to to hang on and take care of business for the fourth quarter. But Dane, I mean, this, and I'm not, this isn't me complaining, but that easily could have been a 20 to 25 point Packer win if we had hung on to a couple more of those.
Yeah. What do you make? One of the more jarring things I thought of the game was Chris Barnes seemed to be, and this, he was your X factor of the week on the defensive side heading into this game, ended up leading the defense in tackles on Sunday, and also seemed to be matched up with Cooper Kupp on a fair number of occasions. So was that a surprise to you? I was a little surprised to see him. He's not necessarily known for his coverage. He's more known for being able to stick guys in the run game. So to see Chris Barnes, I think that at times had some difficulties, but at other times was pretty successful. Just another addition there, Chris Barnes, another feather in the cap. I thought overall had a really nice performance against the Rams.
Yeah, and on special teams, he was able to recover a fumble as well on a punt that the Packers were able to gang tackle and jar the ball loose. He was there to scoop it up and was in the right place at the right time. But Chris Barnes, really solid bounce back performance. I thought Dane had nine tackles, seven solo and two assists, and made his presence felt. You said it. That was not work that I thought he would have to be doing in pass coverage. And overall, I thought he held his own pretty well. There was one play that I do remember. They did kind of a sideline and an out route to Kupp, and he was able to kind of duck under Barnes' tackle. But other than that, he was doing his job in that position. And that was a surprise to me. So I'm not sure if the Packers felt, and I'm guessing, I'd have to see if Coach Barry says anything in his press conference this week. Or actually, probably won't have a press conference this week since it's a bye. But my guess is what they were trying to do is they didn't want to take an extra linebacker off the field. By keeping Chris Barnes out there, he was able to hold his own in the pass game, but also is there in order to help against the run. And the Packers did a really nice job against this Rams rushing attack overall. And I thought Chris Barnes was a big part of that. So by not having to remove him from the field and go with an additional DB, particularly since we're already short with Kevin King being out, that I think made a big difference. And Chris Barnes had a fine day. So I was excited to see what he was able to do as well.
Wags, that's a really good point. And I think it goes and it lends itself to how successful this defense has been under Barry. I think the great defenses, the very good to great defenses, is you're not adjusting to an opposing team's offense. Instead, you're going to play the way you want to play and make the Rams beat you. And I think that that's a really a good way to look at this game. And the fact that Chris Barnes was able to be out there against the best, I would argue, the best slot receiver in football, who got some of his, on Sunday. But overall, to be able to do what the Packers defense did against this Rams offense with Chris Barnes on the field that much speaks volumes. And I don't know about you, but I didn't ever feel nervous about the run game from Los Angeles. The Packers did exactly what we hoped that they would do, which was largely make the Rams a one-dimensional offense, especially that second half. They just had to throw, and the Packers effectively took away the run. And I thought that against an offensive line that's been successful for the Rams this season, the Packers defense was able to manhandle them and win more often than not at the point of attack. And that is largely the difference in this football game.
Yeah, and I mean, Henry Black was the extra DB for all intents and purposes, because at corner, Stokes, Sullivan, and Masuel Douglas all played all 62 defensive snaps. So it was just those three for the corners, and then obviously Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos, and then Henry Black, who I think have been having a good season, just had 19 snaps. So not necessarily a significant drop from what he normally gets, but a lot of times we'll have an extra corner out there, and that was not the case this week. So obviously it was Chris Barnes having to go in and get some extra work out there. You said it. I was really pleased with the corners. They got beat twice. And Shannon Sullivan got beat on the first one. Looked like he could have had a tackle and unfortunately just kind of lost grasp. It wasn't significant, but the guy got, you know, it was Van Jefferson was able to get a step and get over the top of him. And then certainly Rasul Douglas got beat late against Odell Beckham. You know, on both plays, while they're back-breaking, I think they're very correctable, and they were uncharacteristic of what this Packers defense has done all year. I'm not overly concerned. The last 2 weeks have been a few more big plays than what we'd like to see. I do acknowledge that, but I think it's just a timing thing. On that first one with Sullivan, it looked like Savage was helping against Cup on kind of a underneath route, and he just, I don't know if he misread it or if there was a miscommunication, but obviously, even though as dangerous as Cup is, you've got to help on the guy running the deep route. So I don't put that totally on Sullivan. It wasn't horrible coverage. Jefferson certainly got behind him, but the safety duo and Savage and Amos need to make sure that they're reading those routes properly and giving their guys help when those types of plays happen as well.
Were you as impressed as I was, Rasul Douglas, in that second half? Yeah, he has the pick six, then gives up the touchdown. But after that, he wasn't sulking, right? He kind of bounced right back, and he had an awesome bat away late in the game, knocked the ball away. He just seemed to be out there, and he just kept competing, even after giving up the long ball. And, you know, that's the kind of mentality that you want to have. And I think that teammates feed off of that kind of mentality. We've seen some Packer corners that are no longer on this team in the past where they get down on themselves. You can tell that their play isn't the same after they get beat here or there. And yesterday, I was as impressed with Rasul bouncing back after giving up that touchdown as I was with that pick six, because you could just tell he was like, he has all the confidence in the world in himself, and the guys around him have trust in him. I was just really impressed with his bounce back performance.
I couldn't agree with you more. I could be wrong, but I thought he actually had two pass breakups after that. I guess technically one of them might have been the dropped interception that he could have also had another one. But I thought he had two clean breakups. And if I remember correctly, both of them were really nice plays where he kind of had to make up some ground and outstretch, where there are situations where when you're beat like that, we've seen DBs kind of clutch and hold and get flagged trying to make up ground. And he was able to use his length and make up ground. And I'm not terribly thrown balls by Matt Stafford. And he had some really nice plays for sure. So, Dane, yeah, again, Packers allow 28 points, but to me, that's as dominating of a defensive performance as you can have when you allow that many points. The Rams, absent those two long throws, you know, they had a couple other good series, but they really didn't get anything going on a sustained basis. Their ground game, I came into this, I wasn't too concerned about it, and I thought that bore out. I thought the Packers did a really nice job against this Rams front, and that made them a little bit one-dimensional. Now, against a team like the Rams, they're able to still throw the ball really effectively, even if they are a bit one-dimensional, but nonetheless, that allowed them to get off the field on a number of series where they just couldn't connect because there wasn't any fallback option for what the Rams were trying to do. So it was really quietly important. I felt that the Packers were able to take care of business up front as well.
Couple things. My last thoughts, I think, on this game. Number one, Preston Smith continues to play at an exceedingly high level. He led the outside linebackers yesterday again in snaps. He had 46. That's an awful lot of snaps to be playing at outside linebacker. They, being the Packers, are asking a lot of him right now, and I think it's noteworthy. They're asking him to stop the run. They're asking him to set the edge. They're asking him to rush the passer, and he's doing all of these, I think, at a very high level right now. It's great to see, after I thought a bit of a down year last year, how well Preston Smith has been playing. And then one last mention of Rasul Douglas. I think even when Kevin King's back, Rasul Douglas is proving too good to remove off the field. He's been kind of cycled in and out a little bit when Kevin returned, but you got to wonder if this Packer coaching staff, you know, big picture, what they're going to do there. It's a good problem to have, but Douglas is just too good right now. He's playing at too high of a level to take off the field. I have a lot of trust in him, and I hope that he's able to get more snaps going forward.
Yeah, Dane, I was going to ask you, you mentioned Preston Smith, 46 snaps. Were you surprised that Rashawn Gary got as much run as he did? We mentioned, obviously, the strip sack, and I felt like he made his presence felt. Maybe it was a little bit gassed. You said that we didn't get quite as much pressure in the second half. I thought we had a little bit more Ladarius Hamilton and Tipa Nalei as well in the second half, and they didn't have quite as much of an impact, I felt, in terms of getting after the quarterback as they have in previous weeks. Nothing glaring by either of them, for sure, concern level. But both of them had, I think, Hamilton had 17 snaps and Nalei had 28. So quite a few snaps for those two guys as well. It was just a lot of plays for all of them to be out there. So certainly, in a normal week, I think Rashawn Gary would be right up there and maybe even outsnapping Preston Smith. But he wasn't held back quite as much as I thought he was. Were you surprised by that? And what did you think about the performance those other two guys gave as well?
Yeah, I thought that Rashawn would be closer to 20 snaps, to be totally honest with you. Packers went a little bit. The last few weeks, we've seen them do kind of a three pass rusher rotation, and then maybe a fourth guy gets a snap here or there. And as he mentioned this week, between Tipa and Ladarius, I mean, they played quite a bit of snaps for them. I expected Rashawn to be a little less. I expected Tipa potentially to be a little bit more, and maybe Ladarius to be a little less. So the Packers decided to roll out a fair number of guys and give it a shot. I agree, though. Nothing glaringly bad from either Tipa or Ladarius. Ladarius got in there on a couple tackles, too, which was nice to see him, his nose around the ball. I welcome it. I welcome seeing these guys get their in the pass rush rotation as much as possible, especially as we progress, as the season wears on. I'd like to get those guys both going a little bit more. And I wouldn't be shocked entirely to see some of these guys get these snaps earlier in games and on early downs to allow Rashawn to get after it as the season progresses. Reminder that Jonathan Garvin didn't go yesterday either. So that might be part of the reason for the uptick for the other two in Tipa and Ladarius Hamilton. But Wags, overall, just really happy to see those guys both getting the snaps that they were getting. And I expect them to build off of that. And who knows, maybe big Zadarius Smith gets his hand in there as the season wears on as well. But it's good to see all of those guys getting run. I think they all deserve the snaps.
It's going to be interesting to see after the bye what kind of shape. Obviously, Rashawn Gary, now that he played and has a couple of weeks to rest and get even healthier, I don't know if you'll be back to 100% after the bye, but should be able to be all moving forward here. And does Zadarius Smith come back to practice next week? I don't know if he will, but I'll keep my eye on that. Why not? I think there's a natural inclination to sort of circle this bye week maybe 4 or 6 weeks ago for these guys and say, okay, I'm not going to be able to come back before then, but let's give it a shot to try to ramp up after this bye. And then I'll, even if you're not going to play that first week after the bye, it starts the process of getting prepared to be ready to go for this stretch run. So that's not going to help us immediately necessarily, but certainly something I'll be keeping an eye on when it comes to this outside linebacker group. So, Dane, I think that probably covers it for the defense. Before we jump over to the offensive side of the ball, let's take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. And DraftKings, post-Thanksgiving, has another new deal for you this week. Bet just $1 on any game, and if either team scores, you win $100 in free bets. So, Dane, you have been keeping us up to date on your wife Andrea's daily fantasy workings on DraftKings. So how did she fare this past weekend?
Yeah, you know what? She's doing all right this week. Maybe not her best week overall, I don't think, but she's had a lot of success this season. So, you've got highs, you've got lows, you get peaks, you get valleys in this type of thing. But I know she's having a lot of fun doing the DraftKings sports book. You know, she used that promo code TPPN early this year, had never used the app before. It's an incredibly easy app to navigate and to use and to place your bets. So I know she's enjoying it a lot. Maybe a bit of a down week this week, but it's okay. I think next week she's going to bounce back, Wags.
All right. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet $1 on any team to score, and you win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code TPPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so Dane, let's look at this Packer offense then, and there's a lot to unpack here for this offense. No pun intended. Even though they didn't score points on that first series, 15-play series, I thought that really set the tone for the game, and almost 50-50 in terms of run-pass in that first series. They move the ball all the way from their own 6-yard line just to on the fringe of field goal range. And while it's always disappointing when you don't cap off a drive like that with points, considering where they started and what they were able to do and establish, I thought that that really set the tone for the game when it came to the offensive side of the ball for the Packers. But what say you? Because I said after the game, I would have liked to have seen them run the ball more. And then I looked at the stat sheets and I was like, holy cow, I didn't even realize A.J. Dillon had 20 carries. Well, I knew it was probably close to that. I didn't realize Aaron Jones had 10 carries. So we had 30 rushes between those two. That's a lot of carries. So I was just super impressed by what the Packers were doing. And even though they didn't score points, I thought that first series set the tone. But what were your thoughts on the offense, just that overall?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It listed here, it says that Aaron Jones played 40 snaps, which I couldn't believe, to be totally honest with you. It was just one of those games, but I thought that the offensive line was tremendous yesterday, considering who is missing across the board on that offensive line. I thought that Royce Newman played a very good game against some of the hardest competition you're ever going to face in this league, and Aaron Donald. Lucas Patrick as well. Just a gritty performance, and you can say that, use that word gritty. I think, really to a man on the offensive side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers, after the game, gave Yash Nyman some huge compliments, basically saying that, hey, I didn't even have to worry about the left side of the offensive line. I mean, talk about that as high praise coming from Aaron, especially considering the shoes he's filling in for, and David Bakhtiari, and then more lately, Elgton Jenkins. So, Wags, I don't know if we could ask a lot more from these guys, especially against a Rams defense that is known to be able to just create absolute havoc. Game plan was good too. Packers were able to get the ball out of Aaron's hands pretty darn quickly throughout. I think Aaron was sacked once, and it was barely a sack. Aaron kind of stepped up in the pocket, and they got a shoestring tackle on him. And if they didn't, I think Aaron's off to the races for a first down. So you can't really ask for much more from this offensive line. And although the numbers don't necessarily jump out at you from a Rodgers perspective, it wasn't a 400-yard performance. He had over 300 yards, a couple of passing touchdowns, and missed a couple deep balls, but I thought was pretty good overall throughout the game. I said gritty about the offensive line. Aaron Rodgers was gritty yesterday, definitely in pain that second half, but he was moving around and was playing at a very high level. And it was really a pleasure to watch this offense perform yesterday.
I completely agree. And I think, I could be wrong, and I haven't obviously gone back to look at the tape series by series, play by play of every game, but I just felt like from a four-quarter standpoint, that was Aaron's best performance of the season. And you said statistically maybe that's not going to be the case, but there were a few plays that easily could have been caught by the receiver. I'm thinking, you mentioned one, some of the deep passes didn't quite connect. One early in the first series, he took a shot down the sideline, could have gone for a touchdown. Lazard, it felt like, just kind of took off his foot off the pedal on his route a little bit. And I thought Aaron was a little bit frustrated by that. It looked like it was a really good pass, to be honest with you. So that one was one I'm sure that between the two of them, I'm not solely blaming Lazard. It could have been both of them together, not quite on the same page on that one. But that could have been one. Another one to Lazard that would have been a tough catch, but in the end zone in the third quarter, it was the fourth quarter, I believe. And that was when the Packers were up 27-17 and hit Lazard right in the hands. He ran a slant route, was in the end zone. He knew he was going to get hit right away, but I'm sure he would even say he would have preferred to hang on to the ball on that one. So that's another touchdown that Aaron could have had that was right on the money as far as the throw. Some of the throws he was making, Dane, that pass early on the big gain from Randall Cobb, just somehow not only right on the money hitting Cobb in stride, but just over, like, inches over the outstretched fingertips of Reader at the inside linebacker for the Rams. And that throw is just insane. So I thought he was just able to, you said, was accurate in getting rid of the ball, but wasn't necessarily just making quick throws too. I mean, he was throwing the ball all over the field, targeted 9 Packer receivers and connected with 8. So it wasn't just like the Cardinal game plan where Aaron was basically taking 3-step drops and getting rid of the ball right at the line of scrimmage. He was using his full arsenal as far as I'm concerned. And this is great to see, because even if he is a little bit banged up going into the bye, he's coming off really, really 2 strong performances with his arm and what he's able to do to connect with his receivers.
And it's even more encouraging, is it not, that that's happening despite the fact that he's not really practicing all that much right now. I know people go, oh, he's, you know, he's Aaron Rodgers, but it's like, this is a timing offense. And the fact that he's able to do that without practicing is truly remarkable to see. And you mentioned that Cobb performance, Wags. How fun was that to watch Randall Cobb dial back a little bit, have a good performance, injured his groin in the second half. We didn't get to see as much of him. Really good timing for the bye, but it's nice to see Randall still has the option to do what he's able to do there. And I'll say this, Wags, going back to Aaron Rodgers, I'm not sure, and I haven't looked, I'm not sure if that wasn't supposed to go to that ball, that first rushing touchdown wasn't supposed to go to AJ Dillon, and Aaron saw something and decided to just tuck that in and give him a little bit of a surprise. But to see him leg that one out around the corner, you know, we know the toe's bad. It was fun to watch him kind of stretch that one out. You could tell he was fired up. And you mentioned that first drive setting a tone, even though not getting points. Rodgers getting in on that touchdown a little bit hobbled, that also set a tone, I thought, for the rest of the game. And he's earning a lot of respect from his teammates, as if he didn't already have that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Dane, what do you think of MVS? They didn't have that 70-yard bomb down the seam, but I thought he had a really nice game. Actually caught at least one pass on third down underneath. Had that nice 28-yard post corner kind of along the sideline. Really nice route on that one. Great pass from Aaron, but that was not the type of route or catch that we've seen from MVS in the past. So it's exciting to me just as much as sometimes as those deep routes from MVS when we start to see him make catches like what he was doing yesterday. It's not...
Yeah, it's more complete, right? And that's what we've been hoping for, is a more complete wide receiver. We know that he can get loose deep. But I think this year, what we're seeing that we hadn't seen in any of the previous years is a more full and robust route tree from MVS, and also just looks more smooth and comfortable catching the football. And I know you're going to say, listen, he's a wide receiver. He better be comfortable catching the ball, but some guys are more natural at it than others. And to see MVS this year look far more natural catching the ball, it kind of reminds me totally different player, but remember in year two when Davante Adams had a really hard time hanging on to the football, and then over the course of the next few years, he's now become the best receiver in football. We're seeing MVS. It sometimes takes a while for wide receivers to fully develop in this league. And I know that it's a what have you done for me lately type league, and we see some guys come in with incredible success, like Jefferson for the Vikings, but some guys it takes a little bit, and it's a lot of offseason work, and they work at one thing at a time. They just get better over the course of their career. We're watching MVS progress right now. And Wags, as exciting as those deep balls are, and you love to see those huge burst plays, if I'm seeing MVS move the chains on 15, 20 yard catches, that's only going to make him more dangerous deep long term, because the defense can't just sit back and give him cushion. They're going to have to play him closer to the line of scrimmage. When they do that, he's going to be able to take it to the house. So really, really fun to see MVS. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, and a couple other guys, and you mentioned with Randall Cobb with the groin injury, that's not necessarily something that a bye week will cure. That could be a multi-week thing, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. Obviously, we don't know the severity of it, but EQ, another big third down catch yesterday, and Josiah DeGuara made a really nice catch on fourth down. So certainly when you look at the stat sheet, one catch for EQ and two catches for 13 yards for DeGuara is not going to pop off the page, but those are guys that they just went and did their job again and took advantage of the limited opportunities they had and made some big catches and some big moments. So, Dane, I thought that was certainly huge, and certainly Mercedes Lewis with the catch, and I don't know, he was not holding that ball high and tight. Mercedes needs to go do some drills with the running backs, I think, when they get back from the bye, kind of holding it out away from his body. So I'm sure he's going to get a little bit of ribbing for that one. Luckily, Yash Nyman was right there hustling behind the play and jumped on the ball. So no harm, no foul. But certainly all of those guys limited opportunities. But I thought, obviously, made the most of the opportunities they had and made some big catches and some key moments as well.
Well, it's cool to see Josiah DeGuara progress as well. Guy who is just earning more and more snaps each week. In the last couple of weeks now, if I'm not mistaken, he has had the most snaps out of everybody in the tight end group. Really cool to see that. You're right. And the impact that somebody like a DeGuara has isn't always just going to be in the pass game. It's also going to be in the run game and the different looks that he allows for this offense to use. And I think that he's starting to come into his own at the perfect time. And that route on fourth down was perfect. It was his own read. He found the soft spot. He just sat down in that spot. Rodgers delivered a perfect strike. DeGuara caught it, dropped down, first down. It's a thing of beauty. They don't all have to be 80-yard touchdowns in this offense. And I think that that moment was definitely felt like a bit of a veteran moment from Josiah. So it's good to see. And we're going to be leaning on him going forward without Robert Tonyan. So good on him. And let's just keep building on that.
Yep, for sure. So, Dane, let's move over to special teams. It was a really good day and a really bad day in some respects for special teams. But overall, I thought I'm just going to take the glass half full approach and be encouraged, because we made some impact plays in a few areas. And so that's what I kind of want to highlight. Mason Crosby still is struggling a little bit, missed a field goal. One of the extra points and another field goal barely made it inside the left upright. So something's still going on there. And hopefully we're just going to say, we could talk that to death, but hopefully he continues to just kind of get things adjusted and back in order. And hopefully just hope that he's all right moving forward. Certainly the muff punt by Randall Cobb is not something you expect. So I can't blame the coaching staff at all for that one. In fact, was actually kind of quietly pleased that they put Cobb back there. I thought that was the right move in this game with the wins, the way that they were. And get your veteran that's been in those situations before. Unfortunately, maybe he just hasn't had quite enough reps leading up to that. That's a little discouraging, but kudos to the defense for keeping the Rams out of the end zone after that happened. And then coverage-wise, forcing a fumble, and we didn't know for sure, but officially Dominique Dafney was the one credited with the forced fumble on Chris Barnes recovered. And I just felt like from a coverage standpoint, both and kick and punt coverage, we were really getting down the field and making some great plays. So I thought our coverage units had a terrific day overall as well.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Daff and Shamar played really well, I thought, on coverage. I think he probably poked that ball out. But also Tyler Davis getting a lot of looks, tight end Tyler Davis, Ty Summers, no surprise there, and Oren Burks, all guys that were just getting down there. And Henry Black, in addition to the 19 snaps on defense, I thought that Henry Black played really well on special teams as well. And then we got to give a minor shout out to Razul Douglas. I think he played 13 special team snaps in addition to everything he was doing on defense. So just kind of cool to see, but I agree, bit of a mixed bag, but overall one of the more positive games and special teams that we've had this season from the Packers. And I would like a nice, quiet, easy week one of these weeks though, Wags, where it's just ho-hum, nice and quiet, and they just do their job and we're good to go.
Yeah, and Mark has had one kind of poor punt, let's put it that way, and then he would I think it was his last punt, he gets it down to the 1 yard line. So
that was awesome.
You know, so just overall some positive things to highlight from special teams yesterday. So we can clean up a couple of things, I can live with that, but if we're making some of those impact type plays, that's really all you can ask for, I think, from that unit. So Dane, I think it's time to talk about our big cheese and your Dairyland Dominator nominees of the week. So let's start, I think, on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm just going to hand it over to you. Who do you have as your nominees for big cheese and Dairyland Dominating performances this week?
I think it was Aaron Rodgers. I think we could have gone we could go a few different directions, but I'm going to nominate Aaron Rodgers as the big cheese this week. It's a high bar always whenever it's Aaron Rodgers who's going to do it. You mentioned the stats aren't going to be the biggest stats of the year, but he just played a really strong football game. And I thought that he showed a certain amount of leadership out there. I think the guys are definitely looking at him, watching him hobble around there in the fourth quarter and just kind of taking care of business. There's something to that. Aaron's my guy this week. I think this Packers team is taking on a very real personality right now overall with who they are. There's a toughness to this team that maybe I haven't always seen in the past. There's a chip on their shoulder, and watching Rodgers hobble around, throwing touchdowns and doing all that was just a joy to see. So he's going to be my nominee this week, Wags. The offense always flows through Aaron, but this week, just there was something about his performance that just felt like he deserves it.
Yeah, it's tough because A.J. Dillon, again, his stats don't necessarily pop off the page. But the dude had 25 touches and was making some big pile moving plays and running over a lot of Rams defenders. And so you could say that set the tone from a physicality standpoint. But I'll go with that. I thought it was Aaron's best performance when you look at a full four quarter performance and where he was putting the ball and just the reads he was making, taking shots downfield, taking his shots underneath, distributing it all over the field. I thought, and also running for a touchdown. So I will second that and make it unanimous. And let's make Aaron Rodgers our big cheese player of the week. Definitely, though, Randall Cobb definitely deserves a big shout out. I realize he didn't get to stay in for the whole game, really only a half a play, but four catches for 95 yards, touchdown, and then certainly the aforementioned A.J. Dillon definitely deserves a lot of kudos and a shout out as well.
Wags, one of my favorite moments of the season so far is on the stat sheet, it's only a couple yard play, but A.J. Dillon, they get about 2 yards and they can't bring him down. They blow the whistle dead and he just like screams a war cry that, you know, everybody at Lambeau heard him scream that. It was very much a set the tone, you can't stop me today mentality. He's taking it on. So I really like that, and I won't forget that very, very soon. Pretty cool performance from Dillon there.
Yeah, and in the fourth quarter, one of the times he ran a Ram over, I believe it was Cap, their safety, AJ just lowered his shoulder, and I think Cap went flying straight back about 3 yards. And this was a guy that was going up, and it's not like he got blindsided. He was going up to try to make the hit. So, it's just some pretty cool stuff from AJ Dillon for sure. Dane, defensively, I think you'd go a few different guys. I mean, my goodness, Rashawn Gary, strip sack, leading to the first touchdown. We've got Preston Smith recovering that. We've got Adrian Amos with a big stick on fourth down. But I think pretty clearly we're going to have to go with Rasul Douglas this week, at least in my opinion. Pick six, four pass breakups, could have had another interception. Yes, he gave up a one touchdown, but that's sort of what being a cornerback in the NFL is like sometimes. Just an impact performance, was making plays all over the field. So for me, I definitely have to go with Rasul Douglas as my nominee on the defensive side.
You're spot on. You named a bunch of guys. They're all spot on guys too. For, I think, Dairyland Dominators, Chris Barnes deserves some kudos. Kenny Clark deserves a bunch of kudos too. But Rasul Douglas, not only the pass breakups, not only the pick, but also Wags, he got dirty a couple times down there making tackles too. I mean, he's just playing playing the best football I imagine he's played. I mean, he's just playing great ball right now for this Packers defense. And I don't know if they're in the position they're in right now as a team without some of the performances he has had over the course of the last 6, 7, 8 weeks since he's been in Green Bay. So well-earned Big Cheese player of the game. Got his first Lambo leap in as well, and you love to see that.
Do you have an official Dairyland Dominator for the defense then? I guess I'd probably, if I had to narrow it down to pick, I think Kenny Clark with his two quarterback hits, two tackles for a loss, and a sack definitely deserves mention, as you said. And then probably Chris Barnes, nine tackles, a fumble recovery. I know that was on special teams, but even so, a really solid performance from him as well.
Yeah, great, great performance. Couldn't agree more. And it's always fun when there's a bunch of guys that could earn it. That means that we're probably playing pretty good football.
Yeah, special teams, again, could go a couple guys, but I'm going to say Dominique Daphne on the coverage unit. Had two tackles, officially credited for fumble. And I agree, I thought it was Shamar Jean Charles at first with my eyes, but then looking at the replay, I thought it was either Daphne or Ty Summers. The scorekeeper credited to Daphne, so I guess he gets all of the credit then. Whether he was actually the one or if it was sort of a team effort, it doesn't matter. But Daphne, I thought, had a couple of really big sticks in coverage as well, aside from forcing the fumble. And this was a really solid day for the coverage units, as I said earlier, and he was the guy leading the way on that. So I feel like he's the one that deserves a nomination on special teams. But Dane, I won't argue if you've got another guy that you want to
throw. Rags, anytime that we can give Daff a Big Cheese award, I'm all for it. Really good performance. One of my favorite Packers. So really cool to see him out there doing his thing on offense, but also on special teams. And what a way to head into the bye week. You could go into a bye week with a really bad taste in your mouth, losing two in a row, and, you know, starting to question a couple of things. Instead, we're going into a bye week. We're 9-3, took care of business, 4-0 against the NFC West. Wags, this has been such a hectic season, such a fun season. I think we need a bye too, don't you?
Yeah, I'm already on my bye. Like I said, I'm on the beach already. It's nice and warm. I am, enjoying it. So, Dane, if you can have an opportunity to get away, I encourage you to do it. From a scheduling standpoint, for folks that are listening to us regularly, first of all, thank you so much for all the support and for tuning in and engaging with us. But we are going to take the rest of this week off, and we'll be back on next week, Thursday, to do our regular preview episode as we look ahead to week 14, and the Packers will be back in action. So it's unofficially about a week and a half for us before we'll be back, but we're going to take this week off so you folks can do the same, and we certainly appreciate you all listening. So, Dane, any other closing thoughts before we go?
No, thanks for listening. 9-3. Couldn't be much happier than that, Wags. Enjoy your time on your vacation.
Thank you very much. I will. So, folks, as always, be legendary and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Every year I know we're gonna go hard. We've been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go Pack Go. Ain't showing no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck. Only thing I will say.